Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Now, if you have a health question, query you would like answered, Dr. Nina Burns, who's a GP at Generation Health Medical Clinic, is with me in studio today. Nina, how's things?
Good.
All good? 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number for your questions. Listener is 41 with two kids, says that their health isn't feeling great at the minute. Recently fully checked at an A&E, everything clear. It feels like I'm breathing quite heavily. I can feel the flow of blood through my heart. Could it be muscular? What do you think it is? Is it stressed? Although I don't feel very stressed. They don't say if they're male or female, actually.
Yeah, so that, I mean, that's a hard one because those symptoms can be so many things. You know, what we describe as shortness of breath and feeling your heart pounding, which I guess would be that feeling of blood flowing. It can be physical, it can be psychological, it can be what we call metabolic. So when you say fully checked in A&E, there's no doubt when you went in with that, they would have done an ECG and some basic bloods, obviously, to make sure there wasn't anything acute going on with your heart. But it's unlikely in A&E they would have done things like check your iron levels, your B12, your folic acid, you know, vitamins. And certainly if you're anemic, funnily enough, it can actually make your heart race and heart pounding. Now, a basic full blood count would have shown that in A&E, but having your iron levels checked, if they're low normal, your B12, your folic acid, go along to your GP, you know, a check of blood pressure in both arms, you know, and they can ask more questions to tease it out to see, is it your lungs? Is it your heart? Is it stress? So it's very hard for me to answer that without being able to sit down with this person. There's a lot of questions I'd want to ask them. So
an array of blood tests at the GP, really.
Yeah, we'll
is
go
it?
To the GP, like for a decent checkup. I'd almost say, you know, for that kind of thing, if you have a problem that really needs to be teased out, I know in our practice we really encourage people to book double appointments for that kind of thing, so you have time to go through it all, see what needs to be done, and your GP is the one who can really do a full check. I mean, in A&E, they're very much dealing with the specific problem you came in with, so they're not a health check kind of place.
Okay.
So while they would have ruled out obviously anything acute with the heart, they wouldn't have ruled out more chronic problems.
Okay. Listener says her husband is suffering with very flaky scalp. It's not itchy. He's tried several products at home, lots of different home remedies. Nothing's worked. What do you think could be the cause of this, and what remedies would you recommend?
So flaky scalp can be a couple of things. I mean, it can be a dry scalp. Obviously, dandruff can cause a flaky scalp. And then things like psoriasis, people think of that as something you get, you know, on your elbows or that, but you can get psoriasis on your scalp. So again, your GP can have a look at it. Simple things like an antifungal shampoo, something like Nizoral shampoo, which the pharmacist can help you with, can help if you've kind of fungus or yeast on the scalp. That can lead to dandruff, which can lead to flaking. If you have psoriasis, you get this buildup of scales. So there are specific treatments for that. So start with the pharmacy, your GP, they'll have a good look. And, you know, if they're not getting to the bottom of it, then dermatologists do see people about, you know, the scalp as well as any other skin on the body.
Listeners looking for advice, Nina, for swollen ankles and legs in hot weather. I don't have high blood pressure.
Commonly enough in hot weather, if you get swollen ankles and legs, it can be that you have some varicose veins, because in the heat, you know, you're kind of your blood vessels dilate, you're maybe standing longer, and you get this kind of flow of fluid out from the veins into the legs. So commonly it's down to just localized swelling in the area. The only other thing I would say to people, and it's not just in hot weather, if you've unusual swelling of your ankles and legs, and you don't have blood pressure issues, obviously, you know, things you want to check is that you don't have like a cyst or something on your ovary that's maybe blocking the return of blood from the legs, because swelling is commonly due to what we call venous congestion. So if we think of arteries as carrying the blood from the heart, they work under a pump. On the way back, you're actually relying on your muscles to contract and push the blood away from the peripheries. And if it can't do that very well because you've varicose veins or there's a blockage further up, then you're going to get swelling.
Just on feet, another listener has an issue with burning feet at night. They're unable to sleep, Nina, have to get up and put their feet in cold water or in ice blocks. Any advice for them?
So yeah, burning feet, restless feet, it's a hard one. I think we talked about this one before. So in some people, anemia can do it, so it's always worth having your bloods checked. Some people are prone to more restless legs, and things like taking magnesium at night helps with some people. I suppose if you're getting burning in your feet like that and you have to stand up and it's more the act of being vertical helps, or this ever happens when you're walking, that can be an issue with blood supply to the legs. And weirdly, I think recently I just read something about vitamin K, but I'd have to look into that a bit more. So go along, have a chat with your doctor. Sometimes try magnesium, a general multivitamin that would have moderate doses of things like vitamin K. I don't recommend going off and taking really high dose vitamins. High dose vitamins can cause more problems than they solve.
Collagenous colitis? Are there any treatments for this disease? Listener is on, is it budesonide for years?
Budesonide, that's a steroid. Collagenous colitis can be really problematic. It's a
what
form
is
of,
it?
It's a form of colitis where they get like just really frequent loose bowel motions, and they're usually, when they're investigated, it's not ulcerative colitis. Or ulcerative colitis is where you get inflammation in the bowel, you often get blood in the stool. Collagenous is just this kind of profuse inflammation that can lead to really problematic diarrhea for some people. There are lots of different things that have been tried, but to be honest, I think budesonide, as far as I'm aware, it's a little outside my area of expertise, but as far as I'm aware, budesonide is the most proven treatment of all, although we don't have perfect treatment for it. I did hear something, again, looking at the microbiome, which I guess is something I'm interested in. I definitely read something about fecal transplants, which I know sound really gross. It's when they transplant the microbiome from one person into another.
No way.
And they're using it for all different kinds of things, but I did read something somewhere about that in collagenous colitis. Now, whether it's experimental or whether it's actually happening, I'm not sure. Worth talking to. I guess this person is probably attending a gastroenterologist. They would be the best person to talk to about it. But if the budesonide is working, it does seem to my knowledge, to be the best we have at the moment, unfortunately.
Now, 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. If you have a question for Dr. Nina Burns, this listener says her husband has started Wegovy. Is that something similar to Ozempic for weight loss? We're hoping to try for a baby next year. I'm wondering what effect the likes of Ozempic will have on male fertility, and should he stop it when we're trying to conceive?
So Wegovy is actually Ozempic. It's made by the same company, but it's officially Ozempic is only licensed for diabetes. Wegovy is the drug licensed for weight loss, and it goes to a higher dose than Ozempic. So that's actually the only difference. It's the same drug. I'm not actually familiar with any research as regards fertility in men. Obviously, in women, you know, we do sometimes use the likes of drugs like this to improve insulin resistance and stuff, which is a knock-on benefit for fertility in women. But I'm not aware of any studies in men. They may be out there. I'm sure the fertility specialists would be able to advise better on that.
Okay. Listener Nina has an 11-year-old girl at home and conscious of her weight. She is overweight, but this is partly because of puberty and hormones. My stress levels as her mum are high with the worry of this and what to do. Have you any help or advice? Much appreciated.
So hard,
it's
isn't
a hard
it?
One,
because
isn't it? Yeah.
That age is so vulnerable, especially in girls, you know, and especially around the age of 11, that preteen, people's bodies change so dramatically and so differently. Some people gain weight, then shoot up in height and their weight kind of settles. Some people gain weight and struggle to keep the weight off around puberty. And then other people struggle to put on weight. You know, a lot of young men would be kind of paranoid about being smaller than their peers at that age. So it's a really vulnerable age emotionally. I think the most important thing is that you don't focus on weight as regards appearance. You know, we should focus on health and nourishment. And that's why I never use the word diet. I hate the word diet, particularly in that age group. I talk about nourishing, and that when we eat, it's something that's healthy. And it's important that everyone in the house is kind of being given the same food, having the same approach to eating. Because at that age, particularly, if they have one sibling who happens to be thinner than them, who's allowed to eat away what they like, have whatever snacks they like, and this person's being restricted, that immediately makes them feel difficult,
or
that
if mum and dad
so I think the focus is not just on that one child. If you feel that she is a little bit overweight, it's you as the parent, you know, supplying the food and the nutrition is really where that responsibility needs to lie, and just making sure that everyone is eating well. Getting enough protein is really, really important for kids who are growing, you know, not having too much processed carbohydrates in there, because that does impact sugar, and it kind of drives the sugar carbohydrate craving that hormones can make worse.
Listener says, Nina, for the last 5 months, I've developed a severe, painful itch after I shower or swim. No rash or hives. It's mostly in my arms, especially my legs. Doesn't happen when I just wash my hands or hair or face. I can't tell you how bad it is. I can't even be around anyone when it happens. I've tried loads of different creams. I've been to the doctor. He's prescribed antihistamines, but they don't always help. I'm really starting to get depressed over it.
So there's a couple of interesting things in that. So really, you do need to go get some blood tests. You can have a thing called polycythemia, where you have kind of blood counts that go really high, can cause itch, particularly after hot showers. But a really interesting one is marijuana. Some people get marijuana hyperemesis syndrome or itch after hot showers. People who use marijuana regularly might notice that. So it's just one to keep in mind if you haven't found a medical reason for it.
So should they go back to the GP and try and get bloods done?
Yeah, I think if they haven't had a full blood count, which is a basic blood test, it's very rare, but polycythemia, where your blood count goes really high, can cause an itch after showering. Also, some people can have actually an urticaria that comes on with extreme heat or extreme cold. So having your shower not too hot and not too cold and not jumping into really cold water, they're sort of more the weird and unusual things that can cause that.
We've loads of different listener questions that we just didn't get round to today. We will keep them. We'll keep them on file for next Monday afternoon's Ask the GP. But for the moment, Dr. Nina Burns, GP at Generation Health Medical Clinic. You can get more from Nina on X at Dr. Nina Burns, and the website is generationhealth.ie.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.